So in chapter 5, we get really the conclusion of where we are, our condition, and how we get into that condition. That's really, again, it's just the gospel being explained. You have to know what's really happening here. So I just want to point to you from the scripture, and I want you to underline those, your condition summary. Remember, we kept talking about different group of people and everything. You got that. So I just want to summarize them, because the Spirit of God is wonderful how he uses words. He just uses really words to express the whole thing. So, and I think it was in your outline, but I want to highlight them for you. In verse 6 of chapter 5, your condition, you are, in the middle there, without strength, or you are weak. You want to underline that? It's in the middle of verse 6. You are weak. That's God's description of you. That's reality. Let me take you to the other description, because one might not be enough, because you might think you're strong. In the end of the verse, verse 6 of chapter 5, you are ungodly. You're weak. You're ungodly. Let's move on. And then you go on to verse 8. You are, in the middle of the verse there, sinner. You are weak, you are ungodly, you are sinner. And then you go in verse 10, and you are an enemy. You see, that is summary now of all of your condition. That's how God is painting your picture. You're weak, you're ungodly, you're sinner, and you are enemy. And the Lord Jesus comes in, that's your condition, hopeless, bankrupt. Good for nothing. The Lord Jesus comes in and brings justification. Now, just as I mentioned those things, are you with me? Please pay attention. What does he do now? He justify. How he justify us? I want you to go back to chapter 3 and underline that in your Bible. Verse 24. Chapter 3, verse 24. Underline them in your Bible, or you write them down so you would know. You might forget everything I said. I hope not. But look in the scripture and you will find these things. In verse 24, you are justified freely by what? His grace. Grace. Underline that. Maybe one is not enough. Let's see what else are we justified. And we are justified in verse, where is?
28.
No, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 1. What am I going here? Okay, chapter 5, verse 1, we are justified by what? You guys are sleeping? No, I can't hear that. Faith. Okay, so we are justified by grace, we are justified by faith, and then I think the last point Brother Tony touched on, we are justified in verse 9, by his blood. You have three witnesses here. You're justified by grace, and just in case you doubted a little bit, you're justified by faith, and just in case your mind is not, you're justified by his blood. Those are actual facts for somebody who is weak, ungodly, sinner, and enemy. Look what God is doing. These are all facts. But how did we get here? That's the second part of chapter 5. That's what we, Brother Chuck was leading us on. How did we get there? He explained to us that there are two heads, okay, that he is speaking about. Are you with me? I'm going to ask questions. Just hold on your comments until I finish. Just listen up, because I might answer the question that you have. Learn that in the Bible reading. Pay attention. Use your ears and just listen up. I'm coaching you. How did we get there? We have a head called Adam. We have a head, are you with me, called Adam. And everything that you see, that you like or you don't like about yourself, came as a result that you are a child of Adam. And Adam sinned. And because Adam sinned, death came in everywhere. Now, that's what the Word of God said. Are you with me? But if you don't believe the Word of God, I want to prove it to you that it is true. Many of you come from different countries, different cities. What is the common denominator for every city? Not every city have tall buildings. Not every city have paved roads. Not every city or town have electricity. Not every city or town have running water. But there is one thing that you will find no matter where you go in every city.
Yep.
And the outskirts of the city or the town. What is it? Graveyard. Graveyard. Tombs. Adam sinned, and the Lord said, you shall die. And the people said, that's not true. Well, look at outside of every town. Deaths have come in by Adam. So everything, when you are in Adam, the result of it, you see it there. You could say to me, but I wasn't there. I have not done anything. I wasn't there in the garden. Why do I have to worry about it? Look at me, guys. You see what I'm wearing here? What are these? Glasses. Because I can't see far. I haven't done anything wrong, trust me. I ate my carrots. I took whatever beta-carotene and everything. It's not my fault. You know what? My dad wore glasses. My grandma wore glasses. Probably their great-great-grandmother wore glasses or whatever. I inherited that. It's not a matter of fault or not fault. I was born that way. So you are too, because you were born as a descendant of Adam. You inherited everything that is connected with Adam. And that is chapter 5, verse 12. Are you with me? So you are a sinner, not because you sin. Write that down. You are a sinner, not because you sin, but you sin because you are a sinner. Say it one more time. You are a sinner, not because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. That is your nature. And that is chapter 5, verse 12.
Maybe just to reinforce this transition that Emo brought before us, the three points from chapter 3:24, justified freely by his grace. I want you to notice one word, being justified freely by his grace. So now we have a state of being. It's not something to be attained to, but it's a condition of, okay, being justified freely by his grace. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we emphasized yesterday, we have peace with God. It's not something to attain. It's something that we are in standing and condition in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now as we continue, we have verse 9, much more than being, it doesn't say being justified by his blood, but he emphasizes being now justified. It's completely done, finished. It is a state of being, having been done so. So having now justified. It is our condition, our standing now in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do any more to change that. As a believer, that's where we are, and it's completely done.
So that's a very important word, reconciled. You need to understand what it means. And you don't need to look to the world system around us. Because reconciliation in the courts of the United States means something far different than it does in the scriptures. I need to see that. In the court system that we live in today, reconciliation implies the thought that two parties have both moved from center. They both were together, and both of those parties moved apart. And so reconciliation is thought of to bring those two parties together. That's not reconciliation here. Reconciliation here involves a God that never moved. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem was with you and I. We've had it brought before us. We are sinners. Adam's has produced after his own kind. The parents came, the kids came. They all link back to him. This is what has happened. And I'm going to jump us down to 15 because there are two principles that are very, very similar. One involved offense and one involves a gift. So here was the offense that we have been reading about. As the offense so also is the free gift. We say that's really strange. The offense works in the same way that the free gift did? Yes. Look at what it says. Through the offense of one, who was that? The one man, the Adam that we read of in verse 12. By one man, sin entered into the world. There's the offense. He says, as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace is also by one man, the man Christ Jesus. I've been brought into this place. I've been saved from the wrath to come. I can look forward to the future with hope. I glory in the one that has done that work. I don't have to worry about what is going to happen. The free gift, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So I find then that this world is made up of lost sinners, and it's made up of those that by grace have been saved. That's the two companies of this world. The governments may divide them into many other things, but I need to remember this is what God shows us. Through the Lord Jesus and his finished work, the opportunity is given to all of mankind to come to this point, to be reconciled unto a God that loves. And what is the measure of his love? We had it in the gospel. The measure of his love is that he gave his only begotten son to bring you and I into this place. Question right here.